This is a Federal News Network podcast.
More personnel changes afoot at the Office of Personnel Management. OPM has a new acting director after the permanent one abruptly resigned. The new acting leadership tapped two familiar faces to take on key policy offices. The president's pick to head the Merit Systems Protection Board will now take over OPM's employee services shop. That's the office in charge of pay, leave, labor relations, and succession planning for much of the federal workforce. Joining me to sort this all out, Federal News Network's Nicola Grisco. And Nicole, let's start with these new leadership at OPM. What do they do? Who's in charge? Tell us what's going on.
We should mention that Michael Regas, who was OPM's deputy director back when the agency had permanent leadership, he is now the acting director at OPM, and that came after Dale Cabanis resigned pretty abruptly a couple weeks ago. We should also mention, though, that he has another job, because that seems to be common in this administration. He's the acting deputy director for management at the Office of Management and Budget, and he took over that position when Margaret Weikert left for the private sector about a week or so ago. So he's now in charge at OPM, and OPM has tapped two familiar people to lead some pretty important offices at that agency. And one is Dennis Kirk, and you might know him because he is one of the nominees to be the chair of the Merit Systems Protection Board, and he'll now be the associate director of employee services at OPM. And that's a pretty important office because they're in charge of pretty much everything that you might care about as a federal employee. So your pay, your leave, performance management, labor relations, diversity and inclusion. And he will take over that office. We learned about that through an email that was sent out to OPM staff just a couple of days ago. And then the other person who's coming on board is Sarah Ratcliffe. And she was previously the executive director of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council. She retired pretty quietly in December or January, but now she's back to lead HR Solutions. And that's the fee-for-service shop at OPM that handles USA Jobs, USA Hire, and some of the other human capital services that OPM might provide to your agency.
Okay, so Dennis Kirk now is nominally, I guess, at OPM. What about his nomination for the Merit Systems Protection Board? That's been pending now for a couple of years, correct?
Yeah, so that's the big question mark at this point, is what is going on with that nomination and really all of those nominees at MSPB. His nomination is, you know, if you ask the federal employee unions, they might say it's controversial. They're the ones that advocated against his confirmation before the MSPB about a year or so ago. And Tom, as you might remember, we reported a little bit of scuffle between the federal employee organizations kind of arguing over what was possibly the delay with getting these nominees on board at MSPB. And it's interesting, you know, maybe a month or so ago, we had heard that there might be some movement in trying to get those nominees through. But that's since been quiet, and it's especially quiet now that the Senate and much of Congress is out of town for the foreseeable future. So as far as we know, he's in charge of this office at OPM, at least until that nomination might go forward at the MSPB. These positions, the employee services position and the HR solutions position, they were previously led by career senior executives, and both of them have either retired or moved on to other jobs at this point. But Sarah Ratcliffe and Dennis Kirk, they're political appointments. And what we've heard is that these jobs can go either way. They're not necessarily reserved for career employees. They can go to political appointees, even though, you know, they've been career positions, at least in the recent history.
We're speaking with Federal News Network's Nicola Grisco. So Ratcliffe bounced out of government and back right in again, in other words.
She did. And she was in charge of the Chico Council. The Chico Council, as we know, is kind of in an interesting spot, like much of OPM. So the staffers that helped out with some of the administrative work for the Chico Council, they now technically work at the General Services Administration. Again, part of this ongoing push to move bits and pieces of OPM around to GSA and other agencies. But that executive director position stayed at OPM. So she retired, but she's back to lead HR Solutions, which, if you might remember, was another piece that was kind of up in the air as to where that might go in the future.
All right. And while this whack-a-mole is happening around OPM, there is the topic of OPM's job. And recently, the OPM came out with a detailed summary of agency human capital challenges from the past year. Anything new? What have you found in there?
So the report is pretty interesting. It's kind of buried within all of OPM's coronavirus resources that they have out now for federal employees. But this is a relatively new exercise where OPM sits down with each agency, their chief human capital officer, and probably a couple of others, and they talk about workforce challenges that each agency has. And OPM just put out a report kind of summarizing a variety of those different challenges. You might not be surprised to hear that the general schedule, according to chief human capital officers, is the single biggest obstacle in their minds to competing with the private sector for top talent. And they say especially it's really tough to compete when they'd like to adjust the pay for maybe a specific position, maybe it's cybersecurity, it's an economist, someone like that, but they can't do it because they're bound by the pay schedules of the general schedule. And, you know, it's interesting. They brought up some specific examples of how agencies are trying to get around that. One of them being that, you know, 12 agencies plan to ask for special rates for various positions. The Housing and Urban Development Department is preparing a draft proposal on alternative pay systems for OPM to review. That's something I hadn't heard before. And the Transportation Department, they're considering a pay demonstration project to test an alternative system for other flexibilities at the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy. So agencies are trying everything they can to get around this.
Well, it's interesting because I think it's fair to say that there is bipartisan support for updating the GS system. The question is how you go about it. It sounds like the administration is just trying to put some ideas out there in the absence of the congressional ability to take on this one, even though they talk about it from time to time.
This has been, I think, the perennial problem for agencies, and it comes up in hearings often. And there seems to be, you know, vague interest in trying to fix this. But at the same time, I mean, you bring up bipartisan support for a change to the general schedule. I think on one hand, that's true. But I think if you ask some of the federal employee unions, they would say they don't want to see a change to the general schedule. And I think for some members of Congress, they're pretty in line with what those employee unions have to say about this. So I'd say it's kind of a mixed bag. And, you know, it also doesn't help that Congress's attention is varied and on a variety of different other things at this point.
There's some also a few things there on employee engagement.
Yeah, I mean, the report covers a whole wide variety of things. I was particularly interested in a passage about how agencies were trying to engage employees and measure performance and other things like that. And, you know, OPM pointed out that a lot of agencies are trying to bulk up their work-life program options, offering things like family, dependent care, health and wellness programs, employee assistance. We hear a lot about that at the Department of Homeland Security, for example. They also mentioned telework, which of course is very popular right now. And they mentioned some of the agencies that reported concerns over recent changes to their telework policies, like USDA and the Education Department. But, you know, OPM doesn't really give an opinion on that. They just say it's up to each agency to determine what their policy is. I think that's an interesting statement because OPM, I think, has been pretty consistent in saying that telework is usually a good option, you know, regardless of what the schedule looks like. And especially right now, they're saying it is a necessary, needed option. So another little tidbit from that report.
Federal News Network's Nicola Grisco, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Check out her story at federalnewsnetwork.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.